turn to Acts chapter 8. We'll take a little break from our studies in Romans. Matt has expressed a sincere desire to be baptized. Matter of fact, when we set the date, he mentioned that he wished we would have set it up a little earlier. That's a good sign. That's a good sign. But the desire is one thing. People can desire to be baptized, but the only candidates for baptism are those who believe the record that God has given us of His Son and His Holy Word. I've talked with Mr. Larson. He gave me a personal testimony of his faith in Christ. He believes the same way I do. And so upon his profession of faith, that we want to baptize him. Pastor Don Fortner said, and I quote, "According to the New Testament, there is but one thing essential to baptism. The person being baptized must have a personal heart faith in Jesus Christ. The essence of baptism is not in the person or church performing it, but in the heart obedience of the person being baptized. You must have a personal faith in the person, work, and power of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. To be baptized without faith in Christ is as dangerous as partaking of the Lord's table without faith. In both cases, the unbeliever fails to discern the Lord's body. If the Holy Spirit enables you to trust Christ alone for your complete salvation, you should be baptized, publicly calling on the name of the Lord." End of quote. And that's true, and we'll see that in this event that's recorded in the 8th chapter of Acts, when the Ethiopian eunuch was baptized. I've titled this message, "Grace, Grace, and More Grace." As we go through this biblical account of a man that was baptized, I want us to not only see the grace of God in showing mercy to that hell-deserving sinner, but the grace of God that led to that. And I want us to, I think this is so important, I want us to identify with this account as far as our experience of the new birth is concerned, to see the providence of God and the purpose of God and the power of God and the provisions of God, all of these things that we'll bring out in this account of the Ethiopian eunuch, and see that this account is a pattern set for all who are called out of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. There are many, many patterns. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul himself said he was a pattern to all those who would hereafter believe. And all you have to do is give some thought to the Apostle Paul. He was Saul of Tarsus, was not seeking Christ, hated Christ, persecuting the church, and God, in a miraculous way on the road to Damascus, revealed himself to that man who hated Christ and his gospel, and he was the most effective instrument. He was more zealous than all of the other apostles in his service in the kingdom of Jesus Christ our Lord. So that was a pattern, but there are many, many patterns. So I want us to see this. I know that God himself has purposed our salvation. We read this in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, that God has saved us not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Those who do not believe that God has purposed their salvation, that this was part of His perfect plan for each one of us, they are calling God a liar. That God-honoring truth is recorded for our learning. And if the Word of God tells us that we were saved and called with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, then that's the truth, and we should embrace that. Whether we understand it fully or not, we should embrace it. That's right in God's Word. This whole creation, all of what creation entails. It was purposed by God for this very reason, for the glory of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of those who are chosen in Christ will come into a living union with Him. God has predestinated us unto the adoption of children. That's Scripture. And so there is an appointed time of love for each one of us when God will come upon us in the power of the Holy Spirit under the preaching of His gospel and reveal Christ to us. This is too wonderful to even comprehend, but I know it's so, that the very thing that God has chosen for us was according to what He purposed before a star ever twinkled in the sky. And not only that, everything around us. If you're a Christian, if your faith is in Christ, there was a time when God moved upon you by His divine providence, brought you under the preaching of the gospel. He sent a preacher your way. Your paths crossed somewhere. You heard the truth. God enlightened your mind to give you faith to believe the truth and brought you out of darkness into His marvelous light. This is God's power. And that's what we want to talk about in this account. Let me give you a three-point outline for this morning's message. Just some hooks to hang our thoughts on as we go through this account. God's purpose in the salvation of His chosen people. God's provision for the salvation of His chosen people. And God's providence in the salvation of His chosen people. We could add a lot to that, but that will be enough for what is before us this morning. First of all, God's purpose in the salvation of His chosen people. Now, we've already talked about that from that passage of Scripture in 2 Timothy 1:9. But here in Acts chapter 8, as we go through this account, we'll see that it was according to God's purpose. It does not mention His purpose before the world began. That's recorded in many other scriptures. But it is God's purpose. So starting at verse 26 of Acts chapter 8, we read this. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Now, Philip was preaching in Jerusalem. He was a very successful preacher. Preachers today would just argue with God. Well, I'm successful right here. I don't go anywhere else. Well, Philip is God's preacher. He's not playing games. And God spoke to him. I don't know that it was an audible voice, but the Spirit of God moving upon him told him to leave Jerusalem and go out into the desert, which doesn't seem, as far as a logical aspect of this or human reasoning, doesn't seem that would be any place that a preacher would want to go, out in a desert. Well, there's people here in Jerusalem. But there's a man that's going to be traveling through that desert, a man that was chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, a man that God has appointed the time for his deliverance and the place. And that's true of every one of us. So God told Philip, you go out to this desert, and he arose. He didn't argue. Verse 27 says, he arose and went, and behold. And that word behold draws our attention to the very thing that we've already mentioned, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning. He was on his way back from Jerusalem. Obviously, he had proselyted into the Jewish religion. He's a Gentile. He's no Johnny come lately. He's a man of great authority. He's not traveling alone. He's a man who would have a great company of people with him for protection. He's a man that the queen of Ethiopia has put her trust in him taking care of all of her treasures. No doubt she has given him permission to go to Jerusalem to worship the God that he believes is the true God, and The God of the Israelites was well known for the miracles that had been performed by him. The parting of the Red Sea, the deliverance of the Israelites, and many, many other things that would have reached the ears of people in different parts of the country. The walls of Jericho falling down, and the battles that were fought under the leadership of Moses and God giving the victory, and also under the leadership of Joshua and God giving the victory. So this man heard, and he had proselyted into the Jewish religion. He had gone to Jerusalem for to worship. He had a copy of the Old Testament, or at least parts of the Old Testament, and he was reading that. He was no better off after going to Jerusalem to worship than what he was before he went. He was down there with some Christ-hating, God-denying Jewish people who would lead him into their way of thinking. He had no understanding of Christ. And this is exactly what happened to every one of us. We might have been steeped in religion, or maybe never had darkened the door of a church ever before, but God, in His infinite wisdom and in His sovereign mercy and grace, because of a love that He set upon His people before this world ever began, He has appointed the time and place for us to receive the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior.
Amen.
And so this man is according to God's purpose, right where God wants him to be. Philip didn't know this. Philip didn't know what was in front of him. He just knew that God told him to go out to the desert. And he obeyed God. And when he got out there, he saw this. We read that this man from coming from Jerusalem after worshiping with the unbelieving Jews was returning, in verse 28, and sitting in his chariot read Isaiah the prophet. He was reading out loud. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? Now, the Spirit said unto Philip in verse 29, go near and join thyself to this chariot. There were other chariots, like I already mentioned, a company of men that were with this man of great authority, but God told Philip, go join yourself to this chariot, a certain chariot. God has a certain particular people. He wrote their names in the Lamb's Book of Life before this world was ever created. Ephesians 1 tells us that He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. All of this was purposed by God. We didn't know this. The Ethiopian eunuch didn't know this. He didn't know anything about this. He just knew that the God of the Israelites was a mighty God, and that's the God he wanted to worship. But he didn't understand what he was reading in Isaiah chapter 53. So we read in verse 30, where Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. So he was reading out loud and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Well, I'll tell you what that natural man would have said in this generation, probably in that generation too, if it wasn't for the grace of God. Sure, I understand. You think I'm a dummy? I can read. I know what the Word says. And you talk to religious people who don't know Christ, they'll argue until they're blue in the face that they know it all. You can't teach them. There's no teaching them. But you take a man who's been humbled by the Spirit of God, he wants to know. He wants to know. He wants to hear what God's creatures are saying about this one that became a man who is the creator of everything that we see and what he did while he was here on this earth. We want to hear about him, don't we? We sing that song, more about Jesus would I know, more of his grace to others show. We want to know more. We humble ourselves before God and cry out for wisdom. I tell you, folks, I've been preaching the gospel for a lot of years, and the more I study, the more I realize how much I don't know. This is a deep book. It's a deep book, and it tells us, and we heard it and read in Scripture in the men's meeting this morning, that the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, because these things are spiritually discerned. This is a spiritual book. It takes the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, who dwells in our hearts, to reveal these things to us. We can't have any understanding apart from the Holy Spirit enlightening our minds. And so this man was reading the Scriptures, and Philip asked him, do you understand what you're reading? And verse 31, he said, how can I? What a humble spirit. How can I? Except some man should guide me. We need to be guided, don't we? We need to be instructed in the Word of God. We need to be taught the truth by men who have been taught the truth, who are able to teach the truth. And this world, and Brother Steve read it in his Sunday school lesson this morning from the book of Jeremiah, this world is full of people who do not know the truth, but they speak like they know the truth. They tell lies, and the people who are listening to them love to hear those lies. They love to hear the things that tickle their ears. They don't want to hear the truth. But this man wanted to know the truth, and he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Now, we've talked about the purpose of God in salvation. All of this was purposed by God. Philip wouldn't have went to the desert if God had not told him. This was according to God's purpose. But the provisions of God in salvation. Christ is what God has provided for His people for the salvation of their souls. It says in verse 32, the place of the scripture which he read was this. This is in Isaiah 53. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. An Ethiopian eunuch read that, but he didn't know what that meant. And so in verse 34, he said to Philip, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself? Or of some other man?" And Philip, look at verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Folks, this modern generation of religious people who are listening to prophets of Baal are not hearing about Jesus Christ. They're hearing about a phony Jesus that doesn't even exist. There was a phony Jesus in the days of the Apostle Paul. People wanted to hear about a Jesus that they could manipulate, that they could control. A Jesus that was under their beckoning. A Jesus that has done all that He can, now the rest is up to you. They want to hear about Him. They want to hear about one that is under their their control, I guess. He's done all He can, now the rest is up to you. They want to hear about a Jesus who's wringing His hands in despair, hoping against hope that someone might allow Him to save them. Isn't that sick? Jesus Christ is a sovereign despot. On His sovereign throne of power, He works all things after the counsel of His own will. And the salvation of His elect is according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. He's not waiting for somebody to make a decision for Him. He's coming to hell-deserving, spiritually dead sinners and giving them life under the preaching of His gospel, bringing them out of darkness into His kingdom, into His waiting arms, into a living union with Himself. This is the power of God unto salvation. And Philip opened his mouth at that passage of Scripture in Isaiah 53, and he preached Jesus Christ and Him crucified. This was God's purpose. This is God's provision for the salvation of His chosen people. Christ Jesus, who suffered and bled and died in order that we might live. God's provision for the salvation of His chosen people is Jesus Christ, God's darling Son. When Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto that Ethiopian eunuch Jesus Christ and Him crucified, he told him, Philip told him things about Christ that nobody in their natural mind would have been able to see from that passage in Isaiah 53. Now, the message isn't recorded, but we don't have to guess what Philip preached. He preached the same message all of God's preachers preach. Philip preached the deity of Jesus Christ. He told that Ethiopian eunuch that this man that the prophet was writing about is God's Son, the second person of the Trinity. We believe, all Christians believe, in the great triune God. There's only one God. Don't misunderstand me. There's only one God, but there are three divine persons that make up one glorious, majestic God. And Philip preached to that eunuch Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is equal in essence and power and purpose with God the Father. The Word of God teaches that Jesus Christ is our Creator. He created everything that we see by the word of His mouth. The Scripture tells us in 1 Timothy 3:16. I wonder why people don't memorize that verse as well as they do John 3:16. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, without controversy. That means there's no arguing this. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. And it goes on to say justified in spirit and other things. But this is without argument. God was manifest in the flesh. That man that was born in that manger, the Christ child that the Virgin Mary gave birth to, was God in human flesh. Did you know the Bible teaches that all of the angels of God were commanded to worship that baby when he was born? All of the elect angels worshipped him. They worshipped the baby, Jesus Christ. Our God will not share his glory with another. We are not to bow down to any other God but the true and living God. Well, Christ is the true and living God. And Philip preached to that Ethiopian eunuch that this man the prophet was writing about, that was the man that was to come. That was the God-man that was to come. That was the Messiah that was promised from way back when Adam and Eve sinned, and they were told that from Eve would come the Messiah. That prophecy, and led on through all of the prophecies where the Messiah was prophesied to come. These men were speaking or writing under the influence of the Holy Spirit, telling all of God's people who were enlightened by the Spirit of God that there's a day coming when God's going to come to this earth and He's going to have a human body. He's going to walk on this earth and the fountain for sin and uncleanness would be open. And so Philip, he would have preached the deity of Jesus Christ. He also would have preached the incarnation of Christ. He would have told, like I've already mentioned, he would have told that eunuch that Jesus Christ is a God-man. God did become a man. Jesus Christ is 100% God. He's 100% man. Skeptics tell us that's a mathematical impossibility. But they're not familiar with the mathematics of heaven. And that is not an impossibility because Jesus Christ is 100% God and He's 100% man. There's a glorified man in heaven right now. His name is Jesus Christ. And He's sitting on His sovereign throne of power. He is very God of very God. And we bow down to Him and we worship Him. So Philip would not have kept that out of his message. He would have preached that. And he would have preached why Jesus Christ came. He would have taken that passage of Scripture from Isaiah 53 and pointed that Ethiopian eunuch to the perfect redeeming work of Jesus Christ our Savior. He would have told him that Jesus Christ came to save all of His elect. He might have even quoted Matthew 1:21 when the angel of the Lord told Joseph, who was Mary's husband, and was going to put her away privily because she was pregnant. The angel told him, don't be afraid to take Mary to be your wife. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And the angel told Joseph, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Not going to try to save them. He's going to save them. He didn't make us savable. He saved us. Philip would never have said anything to that eunuch about his free will being in his hands to determine his eternal destiny. He would never have said anything like that. He would have told that eunuch When Jesus Christ died there at Calvary 2,000 years ago, He didn't make His people redeemable. He redeemed them. He redeemed us. He purchased us with His own blood. He would have told that eunuch that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. He would have told him, Jesus Christ by Himself purged our sins. They're gone, gone, gone. As far as the east is from the west, God has removed our sins from us, and He remembers them against us no more. We're free. Free because Jesus Christ has established a righteousness for us that's ours. What Jesus Christ did, which was pleasing to God the Father, we did that in Him. Now please don't misunderstand that. We're hell-deserving sinners, and in our unregenerate state, there's not one thing that's pleasing in the sight of God about us. Not one good can come from us. But Jesus Christ is our representative. As the one who represented His people, as He walked on this earth, every step He took was perfect. Every thought He had was perfect. Every word He spoke was perfect. Every deed He did was perfect. And in Him, we were doing that. In our representative, we were pleasing God. God looks upon us in Christ just as if we had never sinned. Does that bless you?
Yeah.
And this is that Philip would have been telling this man about that. He would have been preaching the perfect redeeming work of Jesus Christ our Savior and telling him that we've been made accepted in the Beloved, that God accepts us in Christ, and nobody's going to be accepted that's not in Christ. I'm confident that Philip preached these glorious truths that gives God all the glory. But he wouldn't stop there. He would have preached the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That the grave couldn't hold him. Now, he came out of the grave on the third day, and our Lord tells us in His Word that He had the power to lay down His life. I might speak on that a little bit before we come to the table this afternoon. But nobody took His life from Him. At the appointed time, when God's fury and His wrath was poured out on His darling Son, and He, our Savior, drank every bit of the wrath of God till the cup was completely exhausted. When that was completed, He uttered these words, "It is finished." The work of redemption was done. And He pillowed His chin right down on His chest and gave up the ghost. It was wicked and cruel hands that crucified the Lord of glory. They were murderers, but He gave up the ghost. He laid down His life willingly. He said, "I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again." So when He came out of the grave, He came out of the grave by His eternal Spirit, Himself, raising Himself from the grave. It was God the Father that raised Him. It was God the Holy Spirit that raised Him. It was Jesus Christ who raised Himself. You cannot deny that. You say, "Well, that just doesn't make sense." It does if you know that there's only one God. And so Philip would have been preaching to that eunuch the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he would have preached Christ as our great high priest, as our heavenly advocate. Brother, we have a lawyer that represents us. I'm so thankful. But he's also the judge. And I don't know of any lawyer that would lose in case if he's also the judge. Do you? No. So he grants a full pardon to all of those who believe on him. And he's just in doing so because he redeemed them with his blood. He, the Lord Jesus Christ, satisfied the holy justice of God so that he can say, as Brother Lance brought out last Wednesday, "Live passes by us when we're polluted in our own blood. Because he doesn't give eternal life. He doesn't offer it. He gives it. He's the only one who can give it. And if you believe the Word of God, you'll believe that Jesus Christ has the power to do that. And he gives eternal life to as many as God the Father gave him. So we have a lawyer in heaven who pleads our case for us. And he will not lose a case. Not one for whom Christ died will be lost. He says so. And so Philip would have been preaching that. He would have preached that it's God who sends his preachers. Philip wouldn't have gone out to that desert if God hadn't sent him out there. And we read in Romans chapter 10, how can we call on him in whom we have not believed? And how will we believe if we don't hear? And how can we hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? So God sends his preachers to different areas. They preach the gospel. Preach the gospel to those that God brings under their preaching. And God in his own appointed time saves his people by his sovereign power. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek, to us Gentiles. For therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So we hear about the righteousness of Christ, which is our righteousness that makes us acceptable in God's sight. It's not what we do, it's what Christ has done for us. Philip would have preached that, and he would have preached the imminent return of our Savior, and he would also have preached baptism. It's what we're going to witness this afternoon. He did not hold that out, and the reason I know that is we read here in verse 36, after he preached unto him Jesus, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now, we read over things and we don't give any thought to them like we should. They're out in the desert. They're out in the middle of a desert. And all of a sudden, there's water deep enough for the Ethiopian eunuch to be baptized. Now, we know that they would have been carrying water on their chariots and had provisions for going across the desert. So they had plenty of water. If sprinkling was the mode of baptism, but sprinkling is not the mode of baptism. The word is baptizo. It means to immerse. You cannot be baptized unless you're immersed. So we read where he said, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And he answered and said, and Philip said in verse 37, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Here's the only candidates for baptism. Those who believe. Infants do not believe. Infants that are baptized, infants that are sprinkled, they are not going through what we call believer's baptism. It's for those who believe. Right at the close of one of our conferences, I had baptized a couple of people. And there was a man from down in the Los Angeles area by the name of Matt Vincent. He was way in the back. And he came running. I was just getting ready to close in prayer. He came running down that aisle right there. Pastor Gene, what hinders me to be baptized? And he literally ran up these stairs. His suit, watch, wallet, everything. He was ready. He wanted to get baptized. I said, if you believe, Matt, you've told me that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. These are the candidates for baptism. Those who hear the gospel, receive Christ by faith, believe on him according to the scriptures. Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Putting him equal with God the Father. Did you know that the Jews took up stones to stone Jesus Christ because he made himself equal with God? They thought he was blaspheming. He wasn't. Jesus Christ is God Almighty. And we read in verse 38, he was probably would be the eunuch who had command of the chariot. He commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he, the eunuch, went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. So Philip continued on with the ministry that God had called him to, but the Ethiopian eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Now, he took the gospel back to Africa with him. He was on his way back to his homeland. And he took that gospel back with him. And he took it back with him with a rejoicing spirit. And I leave you with this question. Are you in that number who worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh? I believe Matt Larson is in that number. I would not baptize him. Matt, I want to ask that you come at this time.